welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me at Devil Craft in Tokyo is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How's everything going with you?
Staying dry and staying cool.
That's right. Yeah, we had some thunder showers here. Not right now, fortunately.
And I think one of the games was slowed down today, on Sunday because of rain, and then we had rain the other day at the...
Yeah, they decided to delay the game before the start of the 11th inning. Like, come on. 20 minutes before it's supposed to end, it's going to end anyway. They delayed it.
Let my people go.
Exactly. And then they started it again 10 minutes before the deadline. Fortunately, the game only lasted another 10 minutes.
Right, right. Nobody was hitting. And then there was a rain delay at Jingu the other night, where there was a rainstorm at Jingu the other night.
Oh.
I just about watched that game out. But. All right, well, a special thanks to the people at Devil Craft. They're letting us tape here again once more. I think we taped here last year in the off season, and we're back here to have some great pizza, and they also have a microbrewery with all kinds of beers, so if you're into that kind of thing.
Which beer is your favorite, John?
Water.
Okay.
That's without the barley, please.
That's the microest of the microbreweries, the one with the least amount of alcohol.
All right, well, this week we've got an interview with Hiroshima Carp first baseman Brad Eldred. We're going to talk about the retirement of a former Yokohama icon and touch on some other topics, so let's start clearing the bases. All right, so I went out and talked to Brad Eldred of the Hiroshima Carp at Jingu Stadium on Thursday, and I understand you went out and talked to him on Wednesday.
Yeah, we had a double dip this week, and I wasn't planning to be there. I was planning to cover the World Baseball Classic press conference at Cebu Dome, but...
So it was a classic change of plans.
No, it wasn't a change of plans. It was a 2-minute and 49-second press conference at noon. So my hands were in the devil's workshop. I thought I can either go back to the office or I can go to Jingu. And that's the tough choice. I'll go to Jingu.
So since we both went out to talk to him, we had to decide which interview. But I guess since I talked to him specifically for the show, we're going to use the one that I did. We'll also talk about some of the things that you discussed with him. So here's a guy who ends up in Japan because he didn't get a chance to play in the major leagues. And where have we heard that story before? It's all so familiar.
Yeah, pretty much on a daily basis here.
Yeah. Now he had a hot streak with the Carp for 1 week where he hit all his home runs. He hit 5 home runs. 1 week.
Well, he's Mr. Streaky this year because one of the big stories of, it was a big story at the time. It wasn't a sustained story. Was with the Detroit Tigers. He hit an amazing number of home runs this year in a very short period of time in Toledo. I think they're still the Mud Hens, and they called him up to the Tigers, and he didn't get very good swings. So they sent him back to the minors, and he just hit a bunch of more home runs, and then they sent him to Japan.
Yeah, they let him go. Now, we had to do our interview in two sessions because the pregame stretch was about to take place, and they came and grabbed him and sent him over there to do his stretching. So there was a little bit of a break in there. And also, there's some wind at times, so it's hard to listen. It's hard to hear every word that he's saying. But bear with it, rewind it if you have to. If you don't get everything, just send me an email and I'll shoot it off. I'll shoot off to you with the
How do we distinguish wind from hot air?
The wind occurs when no one's mouth is open.
Okay, so be ready for some hot air.
All right, well, let's take a listen to the interview. All right, I'm here with Brad Eldred, take two.
Right.
He's our guest this week on the podcast. Thanks for taking the time.
No problem.
All right, so I know you were named Minor League Player of the Year in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization in 2004, but it doesn't look like you got that much of a chance on the top level.
Right.
It's not a long story, I'm sure, but how did you end up in Japan?
Obviously, with the Pirates, had some pretty good success in the minor leagues and just a short stint in the major leagues with them. Obviously, I wish I could have had more of an opportunity to see what I could do up there, but those opportunities are hard to come come by. And, you know, I had some good memories with them, and then obviously I moved along to a lot of other organizations.
A few
other ones. Some call-ups here and there, different teams. You know, played pretty well. It's just hard to come by that second chance or second opportunity to get a chance to play every day, and I think that's what you have to do to succeed and put up big numbers. And, you know, for a home run hitter, I think you need to play every day. And, you know, that chance is just hard to come by. And, you know, obviously the people in Japan, CARP especially, taking notice to some of the things that I was doing, I guess, in AAA and put up some big numbers, and they gave me an opportunity to come out here.
Was it easy making the transition in mid-season like this?
I mean, it was easy in the sense that, you know, I definitely was willing and wanting to come out here. As far as getting everything situated with leaving Toledo and getting home and getting unpacked and repacking and getting the family all set to go, I mean, obviously it was a little bit of a mission, you know, but it was all worth it. I mean, we were able to travel together, which I guess is odd. So we were all able to come together, me and my wife and two daughters. So, you know, that was a big plus. And, you know, it was a real crazy time, but, I mean, it was you know, obviously exciting, so we're glad to be here.
Now, you're doing something extremely difficult, coming over to a playoff contender, and you have to produce right now because they need you.
I mean, definitely that's the expectations, obviously, here. What you can do as a player, and hopefully you'll be in situations that will help the team win. So far, I've had quite a few chances to do well, and there's some spots in the game of baseball. I mean, has quite a few hits that helped them go ahead late in the game that helped them win some games. And here in the last few games, you know, I was actually got out in those situations. So hopefully that's just a game of baseball, and hopefully when the more and more situations are presented, you continue to succeed more than fail.
You had a gaudy stretch there for a while when you hit a bunch of home runs, but how is the adjustment period going?
It's going pretty well. I mean, obviously you're still learning. There's still a lot of different things you're trying to figure out. Basically the pitching style is obviously a little bit different. The way they pitch me is very similar, so I mean that's one thing that's similar. Obviously they try to throw fastballs inside and throw you something soft away, see if you'll chase. So it's basically a matter of me being disciplined enough to wait out a good pitch, and sometimes that's hard to be patient and to take those walks. So I mean that's something I have to work on.
Now, what adjustments have you been making since you had that good stretch there?
It's trying to do the same things, just simplify the game a little bit, just try to really just see the ball and hit it. Last night I had two chances, guy in third, less than two, and, you know, I popped up and struck out, so that's not what you want to do. Obviously, I feel like an easy RBI situation, and it's a situation where you should definitely be able to succeed in. But, I mean, that's the game of baseball. You're not going to succeed every time, and that's something you realize, and, you know, here we are the next day, so hopefully we get a chance to do it again today.
Yeah, it's a big series. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys are on the cusp, you're on the good side of it, on the cusp of the playoffs. What goals did you set for yourself coming over to a situation like this?
I mean, I think it's no different than any other goals. I don't really put as far as number amounts on it, but I mean, I think it's just if you want to put it in like a game-to-game situation, you know, just as long as you can produce one run, either a scoring run or get an RBI in the game, in each game, I think you did something to help the team win. And obviously, it's going to results for your own personal thing would be turn out to be good too. Also, if you just put up one run a game.
Now, defensively, that's one of the things that troubles me about this team, and I'm worried about the stretch here. But what's your opinion of the defense? Does it seem like guys tighten up late in games, or is it something like that?
I don't know. I don't know so much. I think we've I've seen some spots where we obviously made a few mistakes, but I think it's getting better overall. I think guys are getting more confidence. I think for sure. I think it maybe helps have me as a big target over there first might help a little bit.
Don't laugh when you say that.
So I mean, hopefully I think that overall, I mean, I think the team is excited to be in this situation, and hopefully they'll embrace it and continue to play well.
I hope you had a good stretch there. We got interrupted, but we're back. Now, I love the pitching on this team. Mm-hmm. Really, really love the pitching on this team. And since you've joined it, the offense has seemed to pick up a little bit. Who's somebody at the plate on the team that you really like? They've impressed you at the plate.
As far as our hitters, I mean, we got a handful of guys. I really like Amaya a lot. I think he does a good job. Obviously, Dobayashi's having a good year for them. So, really, he's got a lot of guys. These guys are a little bit different. They have a little bit more patience. They tend to put the ball in play a lot more and make things happen. So, they have a good idea of the strike zone and what they can handle.
So. Now, it's still August.
Uh-huh.
We're going to start the September countdown very soon.
Right.
There's a lot of baseball left to go.
Mm-hmm.
Of the aspects like, for example, pitching, defense, run production, what's going to be the one area that you guys, if you guys really focus on that area, that'll push you into the playoffs?
I think it's right back to what you said. It's the pitching. We have a real good pitching staff. I think it's probably the best one of all the teams I've seen so far. And, if they just continue to do their job, I think we'll be able to put up a couple runs on each game, and that'll be able to push us to get those victories to get us to where we need to be.
It's been a long time since this team's been in the playoffs. I'm sure people are telling you about how long it's been.
Yeah, I know it's been a long time. Obviously, it's something that that people are thinking about, and hopefully it's something they're getting excited about. Hopefully we can continue to have some good success and get into the playoffs and see what can happen.
All right. Well, good luck. We appreciate you being with us on the show.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So Thank you very much, Brad. I appreciate you taking the time to do that in two sessions there. That was fun.
Right. And they lost the night before, and in which Brad talks about in your chat about his bad night. Yeah, he did have a hit. He had an infield single the night I was there, but he had a couple of bad at-bats. In fact, the entire middle of the carp order had bad at-bats, and it looked pretty awful.
What's new?
Yeah.
I remember talking to Dennis Sarfante at the beginning of the season. He just shaking his head. We can't score. And I'm like, nobody can.
Yeah.
And it seems, everybody's struggling. This is particular on Sunday. It seems a particularly difficult day for scoring all around the league. So
yeah.
Those days happen.
Yeah. So anyway,
your thoughts? Yeah, what stood out for you in the interview?
Well, as I said, it's chapter 47. It's a player who had very interesting minor league numbers, who didn't get a big chance to play in the States. Usually, these guys are at one end of the defensive spectrum. They're usually corner outfielders or corner infielders, who particularly third basemen or outfielders who aren't that good defensively, our first baseman, who cares, but they're guys who are not, let's put it this way, they have enough downsides to their physical, how it looks like they play, that if you can quickly find an excuse why you don't want them, you don't want to give them a chance.
Exactly, and I think before we start typing, I was saying, look, if the guy is a slow runner and his defense isn't that great, that's a good reason for you to sit him down one day or to give somebody else a chance.
Overweight, no, the Dragons kept Takeshi Yamasaki on the farm team for years because they didn't like how much weight he put on.
Right.
They sure liked how much weight he put on when he started hitting him out of the park.
His weight didn't matter when he was hitting home
runs. Exactly. But before that, before he did it, all those home runs he hit in the minor leagues and all those walks he drew, they didn't care because he was too fat to play.
Yeah. Well, this is a guy in Brad who... he had seasons where he hit 35, 30, 23, 24 home runs at AAA.
Sure.
So we know he has power, and he talked about it in the interview, saying that power hitters need a lot of at-bats. They need a lot of at-bats to show what they do, what they can do. But he's also striking out a lot.
True, and I didn't look at his minor league strikeouts. Usually, one of the keys to one of the ruler that I use is if you're striking out in a fifth of your minor AAA at-bats, it's going to be really hard to succeed in Japan, although Willy Mo Pena is proving that he may be having the best season ever by a player who struck out a lot in the minors.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can talk to Willy Mo one time this year.
Yeah, the one time I went to talk to him, he darted to the other end of the dugout.
Wow, your reputation precedes you. Well, anyway, the thing that stood out for me was, I was kind of shocked, to be honest, when I asked him that last question about which aspect of the game that they should focus on coming down the stretch.
Right.
And that he said the pitching, because I think the pitching is fine. I don't think anything needs to change so much about the pitching. I think it's their defense. And he all but admitted it, that the guys don't play great defense, and hopefully with him at first base as a big target, that maybe somebody he can correct some of their poor throws or something like that. Something to that effect. But
well, the Carp have. You can talk about. I think one of the interesting things that when you think about Brad Eldred is how many first basemen the Carp have used this year.
That's true. They've had their share.
I mean, they've changed first baseman more often than Kenjiro Nomura has changed socks this year.
I'm glad you said socks. I'm glad you went down below the belt, but way down to the bottom. But what they need to do is take a higher percentage of those batted balls in play and turn them into outs instead of base runners.
Well, that's not the problem.
Oh, really?
No, the problem is not that they don't turn batted balls into outs. The problem is that they make errors, and they make a lot of errors.
Well, that's what I mean. Some of those routine.
But as far as their opponent's batting, I can't speak English tonight, folks. As far as their opponent's batting, you know, when they're not striking out or hitting it over the fence, they're among the better teams in the Central League. The problem is that they make so many errors. They've got like 31 more errors than the second most in the league, which is the Giants.
Right.
And if you add those 31 errors and you call them hits, now they're not all going to be. They're not all going to be meaningful errors. Some of them will be, the guy takes an extra base with two outs and a five. You know, they're not they're not runners on base, so it's probably a little less than that. But they move from being one of the better, from what looks like one of the better defensive teams, to below average.
Yeah.
They're still not anywhere near as bad as the Bay Stars and the Swallows.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I thought about is that, first of all, was that, hey, what are you talking about the pitching? Because the defense is the pitching. A lot of times, the guys put the ball in play. If you just make routine plays, you're off the field. And you guys are not making the routine plays. So, I mean, the guys can pitch. They can put the ball in the right spot. They can execute their pitches and get guys to hit the ball where they want. Or where the defense is, I should say.
Yeah.
And you guys make four plays behind them, then that's going to cost you games. So I was hoping you'd say, you know, we need to get our offense going. We need to get somebody who's hitting consistently. We need to get a lineup together that's putting some runs on the board more often than what we have, and that'll push us over the top down the stretch.
Well, I look at the Carp, and I think, you know, we talked a bit about them because they are an interesting team this year, given their place in the standings, and they have a lack of clarity. You know, they've got a bunch of infielders who are pretty good, they got a bunch of outfielders who are pretty good, but they've got guys who are almost interchangeable. They've got Soichiro Umaya, who's a tremendous player. Of course, he's always hurt. They've got Masato Akamatsu, which is a very good player, but he doesn't usually hit. He's a guy who really needs to play a lot, and he never plays a lot. They always, you know, he has small injury issues. They all seem to have small injury issues. Jun Hirose is probably the best hitter in the outfield, and the most consistent. He's been hurt pretty much for the last year and a half. So this is a serious issue, and it got worse this year because they lost Kurihara, and, you know, he's not a great hitter for a first baseman, but he's a big average hitter. He's like he's a decent on-base percentage
guy. He's a
guy,
consistent guy. He
right. He's got line drive power.
Yeah, he doesn't have big lulls where he doesn't hit for a long time.
Well, actually, he does have a big lull. It's called April and May, usually.
Yeah, it's called his defense, but anyway.
Okay, we've argued. We could argue about that for another hour, but we'll not. So anyway, they got him, and then they had the next fella, who was Nick Stavanoa, who took over and started hitting all the home runs once Kurihara was out.
Right.
And then he got hurt.
Yep.
And then there was the guy who came last year, and he's hurt as well.
Yeah.
He's hurt so badly, I can't remember his name.
I don't remember his name either. That's a long lasted. But yeah, one of the things to remember about these foreign players when they come over is especially mid-season, because I asked him about that, the fact that he came over in the mid-season, and it's a playoff contending team, and that puts a lot of pressure on a guy. And they're looking for production right away because they want to contend. And usually in the preseason, teams play around and they see what players or what foreign players, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are at the plate. But they didn't. The opponents obviously didn't have time to do that. He had that big streak in 1 week. But I think they figured him out.
It happens a lot. Yeah. It happens that players. Well, I mean, it, first of all, it happens. Period. Just because sometimes it's random chance. You know, it's just chance. Another time it happens is because either the batter can't make heads or tails of the pitchers, or the pitchers are looking for weak spots that don't exist. They haven't found his weak spots, and they're thrown to his strengths. This happens a lot, and players will be red, smoking hot for a month.
Yeah. and then they get video on you, or they see, you know, tendencies, or they see,
yeah, see
you look at your swing.
Sure.
And
they see which pitches you're missing and say, oh, well, I can throw, we can throw that there, so let's do it.
So, I wish him luck. I think they've got, like I said, they got the video on him, and they've got, you know, a good look at him, and the production has gone down. The one thing I looked at is his minor league and major league strikeout percentage of outs was in the 30s in the major leagues and then in the high 20s in the minor leagues.
Okay, so he's in that borderline area of players who are going to have trouble, especially when you have trouble because of the strike zone here, which is just, it's just maddening. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You just have to get used to it. You have to get used to it never being what you want it to be.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I saw that his strikeouts were already in the 40s, and
wow,
you know, yeah, that's pretty high for 30 some odd games. I think he's 35, 36 games as of Sunday. So
he's gonna, you know, I want to go back to last week talking about Randy Bass, and he's a guy who had very solid minor league numbers in the U.S. and he came here and he started having fairly good numbers right off the bat in Japan, but he talked about that long period of adjustment, and I think he's going through that right now. He's on the downside. He may be even further on the downside. He has been reportedly, he's been having pain in his right elbow the last week or so, and these things are all going to affect you, and I think he'll get a chance to come back and do something. I mean, you know, we certainly had a case of a hitter like Craig Brazel, who was a little younger. But Craig Brazel had a really unusual season with the Lions. He hit 250. He had an on-base percentage that would make you cringe if the guy was a Golden Glove shortstop.
Right.
But he hit a bunch of home runs, and he was in a poor situation with the Lions. And they sort of, it's just that he was the odd man out. Nothing seemed to work there. And he got with the team and said, don't worry about it. Just you know, he went back to his roots. And basically he got a chance to reset himself, used what he learned from the Lions, and got a very positive situation with the Tigers, and it's worked out great. So that can happen too. Brazel was not quite, I think, comparing Brad Eldred to Craig Brazel is interesting, but I think Brad's got a little more power, and I think Craig...
Maybe he's shown a little bit more power? Because
I think he has a little more power in the States. I think his power numbers in the States were a little bit better.
Okay.
But Craig was younger. Craig was 3 years younger when he was in the state, when he came over here. It's an interesting comparison.
Brad's 31, right?
So. Yeah, okay, he was 4 years younger then. So that's a massive difference. Can he settle in? Yeah, sure. It's going to depend on, you know, how smart he is, I think, to a large degree, and how athletic he is, as opposed to how he looks, which is irrelevant. So.
Right. All right, well, good luck to him. Good luck to the Hiroshima Carp trying to hold off the Swallows for that third place playoff spot. What's your inkling right now as of September?
Oh, they're going to do it. I think they're going to do it. I think
really?
The Swallows are an interesting team because they're sort of like the Central League version of the Lions this year. They just keep losing players and keep on chugging away, but it's going to be hard. Right now they're the only good hitter. Well, actually, they've got some players in the minors who can hit, but they just don't play the defense. The Swallows are just a really bad defensive team this year.
Yeah. I actually like the Swallows for the third place spot to come back. I think when Valentin comes back, I think he's going to help the offense. Despite the fact that they've had so many injuries, they're right there, and they plugged in a lot of different guys to fill the gaps. And I think, you know, Miyamoto came back this week, so that helps.
Yeah.
His presence in the lineup, Valentin gets back, that's going to help. Millage has stepped up his game, even though he's not 100%. The pitching seems to be fine. I think they can come back. I'll be rooting for the Carp, but I think they can. I think the Swallows can come back and get that third place playoff spot.
Well, I think it's possible. It'll be it's a hard slog for them, but you know, you want the Carp to do it just because it's such alien territory. You know, you said when were the last time, you know, the answer to the question is when were the Carp last in the playoffs? And the
1997.
And the answer is
never. No, that's not 1990. Oh, that's right, 1999 playoffs. 1991 is when they last went to the Japan Series. 1997 is when they last finished in the top three.
Okay.
In the playoffs, never, because since the playoff format, they have not finished in the top three.
That's correct. They the year before... A couple of years before they started the playoffs, I remember they finished fourth one year. And that was the high point of Marty Brown's tenure with the Carp.
That might have been 2005. Maybe. I remember the I'll look it up, but I think that's the year that the Giants finished in fifth.
Could have been.
But we'll have to check it. All right, so let's talk about Takuro Ishiu, who decided early last week that he was going to retire from the Hiroshima Carp as a player. I know he's a player coach with the team.
And he has received an offer to continue as a coach for the Carp.
What is he coaching exactly? I didn't check the book.
Infield and base running.
Infield and base running, which are two things he can coach. He's really good at both.
Well, I think he could probably coach hitting foul balls as well.
which is a needed skill. But
yeah.
The thing I remember about him, and Deanna Rubin, one of the popular bloggers on Japanese baseball, she chimed in on the Facebook page and she said, you know, he's one of two people in NPB who have recorded wins as pitchers and have collected 2,000 hits.
Correct.
And I thought, oh, really? Who's the other guy? You know, and I kept looking and looking and looking, and you knew.
Yeah, I knew that one. Sorry. Because I remember that they announced that when he got his 2,000th hit.
Way, way back in those. When did he get that? That was a while back.
He was still with the Bay Stars. It was probably about 6 years ago.
Yeah, because he is the active all-time hit leader right now.
So. Right.
It was Tetsuharu Kawakami.
Yes.
Of the
Yomiuri Giants.
Yeah.
And later was, it's probably he's obviously more famous for his batting career, because the numbers there are one pitching win and 2,000 hits.
Yeah, well, 1-4 is a pitcher. And I saw some video footage of him as a pitcher with the Taiyo Whales.
Oh, yeah.
He looked really uncomfortable on the mound. And you look at this guy, and you know how many hits he has and all the stolen bases. Because I don't remember him as a pitcher. I've never seen him look uncomfortable on the baseball field.
Right.
But looking at his body language and stuff, from just the moments of video footage that they showed on TV, he looked so out of place.
Mm.
And I think the coaches realized that, and that's kudos to them to actually figure that out and get him in a better position to contribute to the team regularly.
Well, yeah, I think what I've read about it said that he had really good control. And he didn't have a great velocity, he had great control. And oddly enough, what I noticed is that when he was, I was looking for his minor league numbers, but I didn't have the books to look him up for his minor league numbers as a hitter. But in the Central League, he was 3-for-8 at the plate when he was a pitcher.
Yeah.
So he just sort of kept going. Well, he didn't keep that average up, unfortunately. But of his 2,453 hits, I think he has, three of them came as a pitcher.
Yeah. Now, last year he became the oldest Carp player to hit a home run, surpassing Sachio Kunigasa.
Wow.
When he went deep as a 41-year-old. And, you know, you look at this guy, he was at the top of the machine gun lineup, right?
Correct. And in 1998?
In 98, when the Yokohama Bay Stars won the championship for the first time in 40... don't ask too difficult a question, John. You have to look it up.
It was 38 years, because it was 1960 when the Taiyo Whales won their previous Central League pennant.
And I remember the guys in that team. And
the 1960 Taiyo
Whales?
No,
98, the 98 team that won it all, led by Bobby Rose, who's also from Southern California, so I knew him before he came to Japan.
Okay.
Actually got to play pickup football with Bobby Rose once before.
Did you?
Yes. So, but that lineup, that team was so good. You know, Sasaki in the bullpen, Miura in his prime, and, you know, he's pitching like he's back in his prime too.
He's having a good year. They had a lot of. Bay Stars were an interesting team, but we're not really talking about the Bay Stars, unfortunately, because it's a great subject. But Takuro Ishii was. You know, when I was, at that time, I was writing Japanese, English language guides to Japanese baseball. And, you know, I was basically listening to the dumb things that announcers and analysts said on the radio every night on my way home from work. And, you know, this guy, you know, you never walk, this guy will never walk because the pitchers aren't afraid of him. You know, and,
right.
and walks are all about pitcher's fear. And I said, like, who would ever walk Takuro Ishii out of fear? He used to draw about 70 walks a year with Yokohama. And this is a guy who, in the first place, would kill you with stolen bases.
Right. But if you put him on first, you might as well just let him walk
over
the second.
Yeah, exactly. And he had no power.
Yeah.
He was just a base-stealing machine, and he was an on-base machine. So listening to these announcers talk about batters' walks being something that the pitchers was all in the hand of the pitchers, I'm going, this is nonsense. Because if that were the case, if it were up to the pitchers, this guy'd never walk.
Yeah. He said in his press conference, and he was, you know, he didn't cry and he didn't have a lot of the emotion that I've seen in some of the other guys' press conferences when they announce it, but he said, you know, my playing days are over, so why am I holding on to status as a player?
Sure. Well, he was, the interesting thing here is that his main job with the well two things his main job with the Carp was as a third baseman and utility infielder. I think he's played a couple of handful of games at second. I think he might have played one game in the outfield, played one game as a shortstop in the 4 years he's been there, but primarily he was their backup third baseman. Well, this year, now obviously he has a pitching win. He came out of high school as an undrafted player. Nobody drafted him. And he came out as an undrafted pitcher. And he was one of many Japanese high school pitchers who were more successful as hitters. Of course, often it's the case they're more successful as hitters because their arms are shot after high school baseball.
Right, yeah, pitching too much in high school.
Well, anyway, this year he got to tutor a player who was a former pitcher in the final at summer national tournament at Koshien as the Carp's new third baseman, Shota Dobayashi.
Yeah.
And so he was fairly emotional about this whole thing, saying, you know, I want this guy around as my teammate. You know, there's no reason why he should quit. But, you know, they do need to move on. And he's the problem is, of course, that he's not a big hitter. He's been used primarily this year as a pinch hitter. Because he fouled a ball off his instep of his right foot. I think he's had a broken bone in his foot since March. And so he can't really run. He can jog a bit. I don't know how it is now, but that's his whole game. So he doesn't really have a place on the team. And it's kind of hard to watch that happen. I think it's hard for him. But he's the nicest guy. And when he, I think when his first year with the Carp, I asked him, you know, do you still want to pitch? He says, oh yeah.
Pitch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really, and the funniest thing was, I was at Yokohama Stadium and we had this, we talked for about 10 or 15 minutes. And that column was one of the ones I got the most emails about. You know, people telling me how much they liked it because he's such an interesting guy.
Right.
And, he said, yeah, I really want to pitch. I really hope I can get a chance to pitch. You know, an emergency or something, anything. I just want to, you know, get out there on the mound once more before I retire. And I asked the manager at the time, Marty Brown, about that after that game. And he says, oh, he doesn't know how close he got to pitching the other day. Because the Carp were losing to Yokohama about 15-3. And he was thinking it was a Friday. And he's still got a weekend to play, and he's burned out a lot of his bullpen. He's thinking, I think I better get time. He didn't send him out to warm up in the bullpen, but he said he held up his two fingers about 2 centimeters apart. He said he was this close to get a chance to pitch.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think of him so much as a pitcher. I just remember him at the top of that lineup when the Bay Stars were in their so-called heyday, or let's call it heyday. But the other thing is, when I went out to Jingu the other day to talk to Brad Eldred, I saw him, obviously, after he had made this announcement, and he looked really relaxed, and he was jogging and did some stretching, but it seems like he's really relieved to not have the, I don't know, to have to work out as much as he's had to work out to try to stay with the younger players. And he's just going to relax and try to coach, and I think he's going to be a good coach. And I would look for him to be a manager someday.
I think that might happen. I you know, he strikes me as being a very intelligent guy, and yeah, I'd like to see that happen. He's done a lot of different things in his career. He's, you know, obviously he made the change from pitcher to infielder, and he played everywhere in the infield. He played a little infield. He wasn't an absolute novice to it. He'd been an infielder a little bit in high school. But he went to shortstop for a while. Then he basically settled. It's kind of interesting. He settled at third base, and he pushed the. They had two players who were both named Ishii, who are both third basemen, and the other one is now playing with the Giants, who is Yoshihito Ishii, and he got pushed off the roster because of Takaro and the fact that Yoshihito Ishii could always hit, but he was always hurt as well, and. He was a Golden Glove third baseman, and then they moved him around, and they decided. Well, one year they moved the whole infield around, and they moved the shortstop Shindo to second base, and they moved Bobby Rose to third, and they moved Ishii to short. And after that kind of failed experiment, nobody really liked it. Ishii was the only one who stuck.
Right.
But that was part of him being at shortstop really just made that team so much better.
And I'm assuming that was before 98.
That would have been in 1990. I'm going to say it was 1997.
Yeah. Because that makes sense because Bobby ended up at second base, Takaro at short.
And defensively, I think they were a better team that way, but they didn't like it. They didn't like it. So that's a problem. You know, this is sort of the thing about the mental aspect of baseball. People are often. Better in a role, you know, they'll actually be more productive in a role, but they don't like it, so they don't see themselves as being productive in that role. And I looked at Rose's fielding numbers there, and compared to what he'd done at second base, the Bay Stars were a better team. They played better defense at second and third and short, but he said it was a disaster. And I think what happened was he stopped hitting. You know, so his fielding became a disaster. We you know. I don't know how long he stopped hitting, but he had a slight injury, and eventually they gave up on it because he wasn't happy doing it.
Right.
And so often baseball decisions are about comfort as opposed to what makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, players are human beings. So.
Exactly. All right. Well, good luck to him in his future endeavors. We'll hope to see him as a manager soon.
Yeah. Hopefully. We'll have a chance to talk to him about some things that have been going on, because certainly he's had an interesting career.
All right. Now, I know you wanted to talk about the top players in the for August, since August is done. And
August is done.
Who did you have in the Central League?
As the guys I would like to see being the players of the month. I'm not cheating. John's covering his list.
He's looking at my page.
No, I was trying to look and see what you were covering. I prepared for this.
Yeah, and I didn't, so.
Ha ha!
Go ahead.
Okay. In the Central League, the position player of the month, it's down to two people for me, Lastings Millage or Shinosuke Abe, and I'm going to go. They both had tremendous months. And hard to tell what the whoever makes up this decision is going to say, but I think I'd like to have Abe win his third award, I believe.
Yeah.
And in the Pacific League, as for a position player.
Well, wait a minute, stay in the Central League.
League?
Don't I get a vote here? You gonna let me vote? Well, thank you very much. His mouth is closed, ladies and gentlemen. I have to take advantage. Yeah, I would pick Abe. And again, we always talk about his defense, but
that doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count in this award.
Hitter of the month.
Yeah, hitter of the month. But he was just so clutch, and he was so important to that lineup. And he's batting in the cleanup spot. He's producing so much for that team in so many games. I just, you know, every time it seems that, and of course, if you put a guy in the heart of the lineup and you put people in front of him,
yeah,
get on base all the time, he's going to get RBIs. I mean, they're just going to fall out of the trees. But the guy keeps coming up with important hits and game-winning hits. you know, chance after chance and opportunity after opportunity. So, you know, Last Days had a good month, and I'm glad he did because they needed it. With all the injuries, I didn't say, I think I wrote earlier on my blog earlier this year that the injury bug didn't just bite the Swallows. It's put them in the refrigerator and going back and snacking on them every time they get a little
hungry. Yeah, kind of like something of a parasite or something is going on there. Well, Millage is, you know, it's really hard to rule him out of this. You know, you can say, well, he's only got 15 RBIs, but he got 15 RBIs essentially as the leadoff hitter, which is pretty hard in the Central League because you got the pitcher making outs in front of you. So, yeah, and he scored 20 runs, which is pretty impressive any month you look at. And he had a 453 on base percentage.
So who knows how they're going to decide this?
Right. There's a couple. The Central League's a little slim this year. So
this month?
Yeah, this month. Yeah, in August is pretty. It's pretty much up to those two guys.
All right. Pitching wise.
Pitching wise, real easy. Just real easy decision. I got to go with
Kazuki.
Kazuki. Well, you know, he's a Dragons guy, so I forget they exist.
Your team has been eaten up.
I know.
They're living off of the
Dragons. How can I forget the Dragons exist? Because if they weren't there, the Swallows wouldn't beat anybody.
That's right.
So, okay, no, so it would be Kazuki Yoshimi, who's 4-0 with an ERA about 1.5 or something. So that's a, you know, usually you look for the who's the pitcher of the month, unless somebody thinks it's time to elect a reliever.
Right. I'm fine with that. I would have liked to go for Nomura, although I don't think he had enough wins to qualify. But
yeah,
he's been pitching so great, and you know, I'm still going to vote for him as my Rookie of the Year. So he's already got that award from me.
Well, how much is that? Well, it means he'll get our vote. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably go that way as well.
Yeah. All right, Pacific League.
Pacific League's really hard. We had so many good candidates in August. It is so difficult, but I'm going to go with the guy who has the average and the RBIs and the 487 on base percentage, and that's Josh Whitesell.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, he had a quiet month. I mean, because they didn't win a lot of games. I mean, in that respect, it was quiet.
Wasn't quiet in any sense. It's like every game you looked up, he was powering.
He was producing.
He's just been a monster for the Marines.
He was producing, but it wasn't helping them win.
No, well it wasn't doing enough to prevent them from losing.
Well,
considering everything else that was going on,
right.
It was helping them win a lot. It was helping them win more than most people were helping their teams win. So,
yeah, I can go for that. I didn't. No one really stood out for me in the Pacific League.
Wow.
You said it was difficult, and he was the one I would have picked had I done my homework.
Well, we had Takahiro Okada of Oryx had 26 RBIs, which was tops in the Central Pacific League, and they always like to look at that. Unfortunately, he had a 300 average, which is low for the hitter of the month. And, you know, Whitesell was up there. They might just pick Ujikawa because he hit 400, and people go, wow, 400. So let's throw the guy with 394 out the window because somebody hit 400. You just never know what these numbnuts are going to can I say that?
You can say that anytime, buddy, because you know I feel the same way.
They're going to pick. So.
Pitching-wise.
Gotta be. Now, this is another hard one.
Gotta be is a hard one.
Well, it's gotta be because there's three guys who are 4-0. Usually you look, who's the guy who's 4-0? That's a pitcher of the month.
Right.
Now, if nobody's 4-0, they might pick a reliever. But we have three guys. We had Kenji Otonari.
Of the Hawks.
We had Tadashi Setsu.
Of the Hawks.
And we had Mitsuo Yoshikawa.
Not a Hawk.
Not a Hawk. Fighters.
Fighters.
And he's got an ERA under one, so I go with him.
Yeah, I like Yoshikawa. I like what he's been doing all season long. I wanted to talk about him on one of the shows, and Jim kind of kicked the idea to the curb and stomped on it, so we never did it. Also, Otonari's been having a sensational season for a team that has lost a lot of pitching, and we don't hear about hear about Setsu and all the other guys, although Masahiko Morifuku is probably having his worst stretch that I've ever seen in these past couple
of
months.
He's had a bad week.
Yeah.
He's had a bad week when the Hawks have scored one run in five straight games.
Yeah. But, other than that, I would probably go with Yoshikawa as well. I think he came up with a big game from the other day where he pitched a complete game, and they really needed it. So I would go with him.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll get back to. I think the announcement is going to come next week, so we'll be able to get it on the show before hopefully, and we'll let you know who was chosen. So now there were some injuries this past week that were very unfortunate, including our guy that we picked.
Oh, Joel, let me interrupt you there. Yes. What were the fortunate injuries?
I'm sorry, did I say fortunate?
No, you said the unfortunate injuries, which left me to wonder whether there are such things as fortunate injuries.
Well, the fortunate injuries are when teams, players who I don't really like get injured.
Speaking of, there are injuries that are fortunate for teams.
Some teams.
Can I digress? It's always the case, like, especially in Japan, where players are playing to accomplish some record. They have a streak going, and they can't get rid of him. I mean, Katsumi Hirosawa was doing this with the Giants. He had a consecutive game streak going, and as long as the Giants were milking that, marketing that.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
They had to play this guy who was a minus in the outfield. As soon as he got hurt, he got shipped out to the Tigers, and his career was over, and snap your fingers now. So that happened.
So there's a case of a fortunate injury.
Indeed. It was not fortunate for him, and I really agree. And Hirosawa is a great guy, and I really like him.
Yeah, well, the first one is the guy who, and we don't know because this happened on Sunday, Shinosuke Abe was injured today at the plate. And I don't know if it's serious or not. I didn't really see anything on the news. I just know that he was carted off, and Katsuhiko Kinjo slid into him at home base today, scoring a run for the Yokohama Bay Stars. And for some reason, Abe's left knee was injured, and I didn't see anything on the replays. They showed from a number of angles, and I didn't see anything that could be construed as really dangerous and could lead to an injury. So it's just something that we didn't see, or something that was just difficult to see. Anyway, he went out with a knee injury. We'll have to keep an eye on that. The biggest injury that I think took place this past week was the Fighters' Kensuke Tanaka.
Yeah.
And I've seen this so many times. He's a second baseman. He's going over to cover on a sacrifice play, and the throw was bad. It was into the runner, and he stuck his left arm into the runner and got it bent the wrong way and all kinds of gross stuff. So it was ugly to watch, and I think he's not going to be back for the season.
Yep.
It's a ruptured tendon in his elbow.
Ligament
in his elbow. This is not good. And this is a guy who, before the show we were talking about, he didn't used to get injured so much. But last year he had the broken ankle,
yep.
And that's why the Fighters went out to get Bobby Scales.
Right.
And now he's injured at a critical point in the season where they were skidding before he went out.
And a critical point in his career because
that too.
He really needs playing time. He wants to play in the majors. It has been reported that he wants to play in the majors, although whether anybody heard him say that may be interesting to find out or not. He might write it down because I don't think he actually speaks.
Yeah, he might have grunted it at someone.
He doesn't grunt. He just kind of. Okay. So anyway, so he's out, and Kazuhiro Hatakayama is the next casualty in the middle of the Swallows' batting order.
Yeah. Now he injured muscles in his right rib cage, and they don't know when he'll be back.
And he probably hurt him when he was chasing foul balls at Jingu the other night. He looked like. That was his job. He was going out catching balls. He was running down foul balls like he was an athlete or something. They got to tell him to cut that stuff out.
Bump into a mirror one day and see what you're working with out here. And realize that you could get really seriously injured if you try to do something athletic.
Oddly enough, but he really kept them in the game when they had bait. He recorded the final couple of big outs with runners in scoring position. And that's one reason the Carp had cleanup hitters had trouble is they were going after bad pitches and he was making them pay for their mistakes.
Right. Well, the good thing about this, if there is any light at the end of this tunnel, is that Vladimir Ballantyne has been working out with the farm team and he should be back soon.
Okay.
So they're going to lose one, but they'll be able to replace him. And
Lasting's millage, they just put him in the cleanup spot, and he thinks he's Mickey Mantle all of a sudden.
Hey, he's hitting like him.
Okay, we'll watch out. We'll have to check. If he starts sounding like an Okie, then we'll call a doctor.
All right, so, and the last topic we wanted to talk about this week was the fact that I did my homework again since I raised a question last week, and it was Anthony in Australia who, again, made a note on our Facebook page, and he said he didn't know who the other Italian player was who played in NPB. So I decided to go scrummaging and ruffling.
Was it Tomaki Kanemoto?
No. Okay. Or should we say no? I don't know how to say it in Italian. But anyway, that's not Italian. Alessandro, I'll call him Alessandro, you can call him Alex Maestri, is the second Italian.
Maestri.
Okay. Maestro. Maestri.
Okay. He's a maestro now. Threw a complete game the other day.
I have to ask him. Yeah, it was beautiful. Maestri, I guess. Okay. I don't know. We'll have to ask him when he comes to Tokyo next time. I'll have to try.
He's from Cesena in Italy.
Okay.
Or Cesena, more likely. Okay.
We don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
The other player was a Hanshin Tigers player from 1981 to 82, and his name was Stephen Rum.
Oh.
And he was an outfielder and played in 64 games over two seasons with the Tigers.
Right.
And that's all the information that was on him. He was another guy who got an opportunity early. I think he got injured. They put him on the bench. Then he was a pinch hitter. Then he was nothing.
Okay. We did have another, just a little note I wanted to mention. We're thinking of foreign players. We had the first foreign player to steal 30 bases in a year since 1975.
Esteban Herman. Our man.
It is indeed. Esteban Herman has now stolen 31 bases, I believe, and he matched the 30 that was stolen by Bernie Williams in 1975.
So not that Bernie Williams.
Not the Puerto Rican guitar playing former center fielder of the New York Yankees.
Not that Bernie Williams.
The other Bernie Williams.
The other one. I bet that's what he says about that Bernie Williams.
Well, that's what she said.
You're terrible. You're awful. See what you people do when you don't send letters and comments in.
That's
you
get mean.
You get this kind of garbage.
Garbage. Oh, okay. Well, garbage in, garbage out. See?
Garbage in, garbage out. So that is a very rough reminder that you should.
That's mean.
An ear-burning reminder to ask you to send your comments and questions via MP3 file so we can play them on the show and not have to hear this kind of banter. Banter, that's what it was, right?
Banter. I can accept banter.
All right. Send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com and we will play it on the show if you keep it in less than a minute.
All right.
Thanks to the fine people at Devil Craft for allowing us to tape here. It's near Conda Station, the south exit. You get out and use your iPhone to get here.
That's right. Look it up on the internet.
Look it up on the internet. They are on the internet. Wonderful pizza. We had a pizza break here, so that's why we...
By the way, suddenly the energy level went up in the second half of the show was after munching down a pizza.
And the energy level will have to stay high for the rest of the season for a lot of teams that are on the bubble. This is going to be awesome. The Pacific League, I can't wait. This third place race in the Central League. I'm loving it.
Well, you know, for me, the big one, yeah, the Pacific League, every team from 1 to 5 is really...
Except for
I don't like the Eagles, actually. So let's say 1 to 4.
Yeah.
Could finish first.
Yeah.
Central League, actually, yours is third place. The one I'm glued to is last place.
Yeah, well, I'm not so glued to it, but I'm watching that one, too. So you guys keep watching and enjoy your baseball.
And thanks for listening, folks.